As we saw yesterday, the Gemara is going through several stages in grappling with the opening kasha or shaila of Mino and Emili. What is the makar for Birkas HaPeiros, the brachas that appear in the Mishnah? Yesterday we saw that in the middle stage, after the Gemara moves away from stage one, was that maybe I could directly darshan these dinim of Bracha Rishona from the Pesukim of Pasuk of Kodesh Elulim, Parshas Kedoshim. That was stage one. When we rejected that, we moved to stage two, which is, well, there's some makar or another for Bracha Acharona in our Torah, and then Bracha Rishona is a Kal V'Chomer. Yesterday we thought about the many, many problems in that movement in the Gemara. The fact that we did a very quick turnaround from a line before, we said Ashkechon La'achra V'Lefana Minayin, this more mistaber to assume Bracha Achrona, Bracha Rishona, but then immediately we then turn around and say, well, once you have Bracha Achrona, Kal V'Chomer Bracha Rishona. And as Tosus pointed out, the fact that this would generate a maskana, that Bracha Rishona on certain foods is Daraisa, and other issues within the interplay of Karam and Shivas Aminim, we saw that probably what Tosus is driving at, I saw this morning, if you're looking at Tzlach, Tzion LeNefesh Chaya, that's the Sefer on Masechtas Hashas by the Noda Bihuda. His name was neither Tzlach nor Noda Bihuda. His name was Recheska Landau. But his Sefer of Tshuvas, which is most famous, is Shaios and Tshuvas Noda Bihuda. So he's often referred to as the Noda Bihuda. His Sefer on Gemara, Masechtas, is Tzion LeNefesh Chaya. But his name wasn't Yehuda, his name wasn't Chaya. Chaya, I think, was his mother. I think his mother's name was Chaya. Yecheskel ben Chaya. So I think he named the Sefer. I think his mother already passed away. So it was a tziun lenefesh Chaya. It was a marker, like a matseva, for the neshama of his mother Chaya. So that's the Tzlach. So the Tzlach points out what the problem that we raised yesterday is Tosis is first waking up now and noticing, one second, why is it Kal V'Chomer generating Daraisa, but it's not Daraisa. As we said yesterday, the Kal V'Chomer would last. The Tosis toasts us a little bit, and he also points out, Tzach also points out, that the whole toasts is, as we saw, it's a little difficult. Lav Kal V'Chomer is a Kal V'Chomer, it's not Kal V'Chomer, what's going on? So yesterday, you look in the Rashi Ritva, you get a clearer picture that there's a whole slew of problems, a whole slew of kashas in this middle part of the Gemara, and the answer seems to be what toasts is already driving at, then the Chachmei Svara, the Rashi Ritva are articulating more explicitly that you're right, there are a lot of kashas, as the Gemara didn't raise, but the Kal V'Chomer is not going to last anyways. Anyways, Lamasu, for other reasons, we're going to get to a different maskana. Why we prefer, which again, Tosus elsewhere will say also, they're Pirchi Acharini, I could have asked this kasha, I already have other kashas, I would always have to ask all the kashas, just because the Gemara has a Havamina and derails it with one kasha, doesn't mean that you couldn't ask other kashas also. We don't always have to ask all the kashas that we have. There may be many problems with a Havamina. The Gemara might only raise one or two, and those are sufficient. Those are adequate to eliminate the Havamina, but we could have raised other problems also. The Ritva was quite explicit. The truth is, the Rashba, I did not mention this, was also very explicit. The last line, Yemasal Kal V'Chomer, he says, yeah, there are other problems. Specifically, what do you mean? I have a Gemara that says Chafal that says Brach Rishon is Drabbanan. The Kal V'Chomer should generate the Raisa. El Mishum de Lo Salka Hashmaita Lo Daikinan Ba Kulei Hai. The Rashba says black and white, but because this anyways isn't going to be Ola Lamaskana, this isn't going to last the Maskana anyways. So we're not Madaik so much. You should not always be Madaik so much in Havmina. That is a Rashba. Mishum de Lo Salka Hashmaita, because this is only Havmina, it doesn't last the Maskana. You don't have to be dying so much. You're right, there are other problems within the Havmina, but we get rid of it anyways. So Wataka is a maskana. Wataka is a maskana. Wataka is a maskana is... We're not going to directly darshan Baruch Rishon from the Pasuk, because we need the Pasuk for other dinim. We're not going to learn it from Kal V'Chomer, because the Kal V'Chomer, number one, as Rishon pointed out, there are a lot of problems with Kal V'Chomer, and the Kal V'Chomer, like as Gemara points out, the Kal V'Chomer is not adequate. The Kal V'Chomer would only generate Baruch Rishonah for those foods where there's a makar for bracha achronam in HaTorah, which is, again, bread, maybe Shivas Haminim, grapes, maybe other tree fruit, depending on what you think about karavai, netravai. So we're pretty limited. The Gemara says, no, instead, it's what? It is an asmach. It's a svara. Sorry, it's a svara. Jumping the gun. Ela svaru asal adam shienim olam hazeh below bracha. It's a svara that it's asr for a person to have hanah from this world without making a bracha. Interesting svara. Interesting maskana. It looks like a very, very brief maskana. Remarkably, after such a long shakavataria, it's like a one-line maskana. What I'd like to do in thinking about this, trying to peel away the layers of the onion, trying to understand what the Gemara is driving at, is there are a couple of things to think about. Each different Rishon raised different problems. The Achron raised different problems. Maybe one way to organize our thoughts is first to think about what there isn't in this maskana, then to think about what there is in this maskana. What there isn't is it's only drabanan. It's not daraisa. Baiatos the Ray points out earlier. That was the whole problem with Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer could generate in daraisa. It better not be a Kal V'Chomer because the Gemara says Chafalv, Brach Rishon is only the Rabbanan. So you look at that we saw explicitly. The Rashba and the Ritva said very clearly, it's all only drabanan. It's all only drabanan. There is no makar in the chumash. It's all only misvara. It's all only drabanan. So yesterday the Rashba and the Masah Hagarsin stresses, it doesn't matter whether it's grapes or it's bread or whatever it is. Neta, it's all only drabanan. Nothing's based on the Kal V'Chomer. Everything's based on the svara. It's all only drabanan. Expanding on the Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos of the Yamud, there once again a teeny tiny Tosfos, which means, as is often the case, it's going to be very dense. We're going to have to spend some time thinking about it, unpacking it. Ela svaruhu also on the shalom ozeb la bracha ukra de nasav leel asmachta bi alma. What kasha is Tosfos indirectly asking? Tosfos is just jumping into the answer, but they're answering what implied question, a kushya smuya. Which question is not being articulated, but is clearly what's bothering Tosfos, and they're just explaining. It's not a problem because. Yeah, what, Kasha?
I'm trying to figure out what he's doing with the Kushya from before.
Oh, if it's all Drabanan, so we already dealt with what he do with the Kal V'Chomer. Tosfos already said, Lav, because it's not such a good Kal V'Chomer anyways. We saw the Rashba Ritva expand on, the whole Kal V'Chomer doesn't really stand to scrutiny, the whole Kal V'Chomer implodes. But now the problem is, one second, if we're landing, we started with a Drasha. We started with a Medrash. We started with a Pasuk. So when we got to the middle, we still said, okay, it's indirectly from the Pasuk. You have the Pasuk, Jeremy's Baruch Achrayna, and then the Kal V'Chomer to Baruch Rishon. So it's still the source. But now he said Svara. So what happens, how do you deal with the Havamina? Because the Havamina wasn't just an Amora made a suggestion, and then the Amoram decided to reject it. We had Tanoim. We had a Medrash. We had a Sifra. We had a Rekiva. So Tosfos says that's a real problem. That's a real problem. Ukra, the Nas of Le'el, Asmachta bi'alma. The pasuk that we mentioned earlier is merely an asmachta, if the fair word asmachta even means. The Hagemara ha'yasavar mitchila de limud gamarhu. But the Gemara initially thought that it's a real limud, that it's a real drasha. But lemaskana, Tosfos is saying, now that we get to maskana, we recognize in retrospect that medrash is merely an asmachta. So clearly. Tosfos is, as Pinchas said, grappling with, well, when all the dust settles, what happens to the drasha earlier? And the answer is drasha is an asmachta. What is asmachta? What is asmachta? What is asmachta? So asmachta means as follows. Asmachta means, as we were discussing the other day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, go back to basics, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai and over the course of the 40 years in the desert? Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu was a conduit for transmitting Torah in three, you can think about it in three chunks. One chunk of Torah Shebichzav and two chunks of Torah Shalpeh. One chunk of Torah Shebichzav, over the course of the 40 years in the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmits to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, the entire text of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Torah Shalpeh, Bereishis, Bar Elokim, Etz HaShemayim, Etz HaAretz, Tibna Haitha, Pilaga, Teret, Teret, every Pasuk. Ach Mayanu Bar Mikveh Mayim, the whole Chumash, number one. Number two, as Rambam articulates, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu, transmit to Moshe Rabbeinu, to give to Klal Yisrael, the core data of Torah Shebaal Peh, the core data of interpretation, making sense of what these psukim mean and how do you do these mitzvahs, the perish of every mitzvah. And that's how the Rambam explains at length in his in the beginning of the Haggadah to Perush Mishnayos, and that's what he writes Bekitzer at the beginning of the introduction to Mishnah Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu Torah Shebaal Sav. Kadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe Rabbeinu Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh. So part one is the text of Torah Shebaal Sav. Part two is the content, the core content of Torah Shebaal Peh, the basic dinim, the basic perushim, and the halachos of Moshe Mitzrayim. And then part three, which is also Torah Shebaal Peh, is the tools through which Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dar V'Dar can continue to mine the text of Chumash to find those additional nuggets of meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu left for us to find. Tools like Kal V'Chomer, like Zera Shava, and like Ma'amotzinu, like Imeinu Inyan. The very tools of Drasha, and when a Chacham, Rabbi Akiva sits down and opens a Chumash, opens the Sefer Torah, and says, what do I do with this pasuk, that pasuk, and starts analyzing, and says, I see a din, that's what you read between the lines, using these rules of interpretation, the mitos, shatana dreshes ben, if you like fancy-sounding monosyllabic, polysyllabic words, you can call it hermeneutics, rules of interpretation of text. So you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are divine hermeneutics. These are, or if you're art scrolls, then you say that casually at the end of a Karbanos. So that's part three. That's part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition to Torah Shebichsav, in addition to Chachamim Shechum Shei Torah, he gave Moshe Rabbeinu a lot of content of Torah Shebaal Peh, a lot of dinim and perushim, as well as the tools through which you'll find the rest of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The tools through which you'll find the rest of the content, the rest of the dinim and ideas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu preferish, he gave him the potential. So here are the tools, and you and future Chachamim will use these tools to discover the nuggets of meaning that left between the lines. So when a Chacham sits down in any generation and makes a Kal V'Chomer, makes a Gzeira Shava, makes a Kal Prat V'Klal, what he's engaged in is a discovery process, and he's using that method, that tool, that Midah, to find something that Kadosh Baruch Hu left for him to find. And therefore that's a Din Daraisa. A din can be daraisa because it's a beferish pasuk in the chumash, like the fact that Arla is aser ba'achila for 3 years. That's pasuk in the chumash. A din can be daraisa because halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. It could be that the fact that Arla applies in chutzlart. Chumash says I have Arla in Eretz Yisrael. There is a din of Arla in chutzlart, and the Gemara has at least a possibility that that was halacha Moshe. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you should know that there's also Arla in chutzlart. Okay, and then the third type of din daraisa is something that's nidrash me'akra. You make a vow, Chacham makes a valid drasha using the rules of drashas. You make a valid drasha. So what you've done is you've extracted, you've discovered, you've mined the text of Chumash. You've discovered something that Kadosh Baruch Hu left there for us to find. That too is a din daraisa. If here's the big if you're actually the drasha actually conforms to the rules of drashas. You made a legitimate, valid drasha, legitimate, valid application of Mishnah Torah drashas then. The legitimate, because there are rules for it. Make Kavah Homer, there are rules for it. Make a Gezer Shava. So if it's legit, so then that generates a Din Daraisa. But if you have an interpretation, a drasha that doesn't conform to the rules of drashas, it's looser, doesn't actually fit any of the Mishnah Torah drasha then, so then it's not going to generate a Din Daraisa. So why would I have a loose pseudo drasha? So the drasha doesn't make it so. If you have a real drasha gemura, a real drasha that fits Kal V'Chomer Gzeir Shava, so that's what we call a drasha gemura, full drasha, and I'm a chayv to keep that din because of the drasha. The drasha generates a din daraisa. But let's say I have a loose drasha, it doesn't really fit. Like Kodesh Ilulim indicates bracha, but it doesn't really indicate bracha because by the rules, the Kodesh Ilulim is already taken. It's already reserved for Achle v'Hadar Achle, and so on and so forth. So it doesn't really generate this. It doesn't really indicate this din by the rules. So then the pasuk is not mechayiv me to say a bracha. So who is mechayiv me to say a bracha? Not based on the pasuk. So why would I have a loose drasha? The answer is, there's another way to have a binding din. And that is, the Torah tells us that the Chachamim were authorized by Ribbono Shel Olam to make additional dinim, to make additional gzeiros and takanas. They have limited authority to legislate, not just to discover Din Daraisa through interpreting the Chumash, mining the Chumash of the Midrash Torah and Reshma. That would be Din Daraisa. Chazal can also sometimes legislate, create a new Din Drabanan. And why is the Din Drabanan binding? Why am I mechuyav to light Neiros Hanukkah? And why am I forbidden to handle money on Shabbos? Because by power of the rabbinic authority, by power of the legislation of Chazal, they made Din Drabanan. And Rabbi Shlom said, you got to listen to Din Drabanan. And that's a Drabanan. So when you have a Drabanan, most of the time you just have a Drabanan, and it's Drabanan. Why do you keep it? Because Chazal or Masakin, at some point in time, you can't eat Bishalak. And then Masakin, at some point in time, you got to light Neres Chanukah, you got to wash the tails of the diet. Shine. Every once in a long while, not only were Chazal, Masakin, Din Drabanan, but they even point that there's a Pasuk that sounds a little bit like that Din Drabanan also. Sounds a little bit like means it doesn't actually work with the rules of Drushas. So it's not generated in Daraisa. The reason why you keep the din is because it's a din drabban, chazar masakin, you have to keep the din drabban, like any takana or gzeir drabban. But every once in a while, there'll also be like a little bit of an illusion. There's a pasuk that sounds a little bit like it. There are pasukim that sound a little bit like Tehillas Hadayim. They're not actually mechayvim Tehillas Hadayim. Tehillas Hadayim is not din darai, it's a din drabban. But Chazal pointed out, there is a pasuk that sounds a little bit like it. Why is that meaningful? According to most Rishonim, it's a way of it's not doesn't generate the din, it's not a drasha gemura, but it's a way of reminding people, help people to remember. Maybe it'll help people to remember. You see a pasuk that sounds a little bit like the din drabanan, it'll help you to remember to keep that din drabanan. It'll help you remember to take it seriously. So that's what we call when it's not a drasha, it's not a real drasha that actually works with the rules of drashas, and therefore it's not actually generating the din, it's just a reminder, an illusion to a din which is really rooted and binding because of takan drabanan. We call a type of quasi drasha or semi drasha or pseudo drasha. We call that an asmachta. It leans on it a little bit. It leans on it a little bit, but it's not actually the source. And that's what Tosfos is saying here. Originally, the Gemara and the Hava Mina thought we knew about the Sifra. Originally, we thought that the Sifra is, as he says, limud gamur, a drasha gemura. We thought this was a legitimate drasha. It's mamish generating din daraisa. But then the Gemara realized, no, it's not, because Koshi Lum is already taken. So it doesn't fit. And then we thought, oh, maybe it generates that bracha achrona, kavachomer. Also not. Kavachomer doesn't hold water. So then we said, oh, so then there must be some third source for bracha arishona. What is that source? Svara. Tosfos is assuming clearly, and that Svara, So Tosfos says, Tosfos already said before, Bracha Rishon is only Drabanan. We know that from Brachas Chaval. Bracha Rishon is only Drabanan. I have a svara for the Din Drabanan. Before I had a Pasuk, I had that the Sifra. The Tosfos says, yeah, that Sifra wasn't a Drasha Gemura. That Sifra was an Asmachta to Din Drabanan. It happened to be, as an aside, Tosfos in a number of places is open, particularly, this is not my Ha'ara, you know, Shechter points this out from time to time. The Tosfos seems to have a tendency to understand that there are many drushas, specifically in the Sifra, in the Medrash Halacha and Vayikra, that are asmachtas. Tosfos is comfortable saying, that line is Sifra, it's an asmachta. So they say, here in particular, we started the Sifra, we originally thought the Sifra was a drasha gemura, a real din daraisa, and they come to the conclusion that no, it is not a drasha, it's not a din daraisa, it's just, it's merely an asmachta. So again, asmachta means, it's not a drasha that actually works with the rules of drasha. It's a little bit of a remez. It's an indication. It doesn't actually, not strong enough for interpretation. Doesn't work by the rules. Doesn't generate din daraisa. The binding force of the din of bracha rishona is takana drabanan. And this is a nice tosefis. The cherry on top. It's the icing on the cake. This is not actually, I'm not chayek to make a bracha called the drasha. I'm chayek to make a bracha called takana drabanan. It is merely drabanan. It is, merely to, or Orthodox Jews keep drabanans with the same fervor and excitement we keep daraisas, but I'm keeping the din is a drabanan, and the mechayiv of the din is takan drabanan, not this pasuk. This pasuk is merely an asmachta. Pasuk is merely an asmachta. Yeah.
Wait, so as far as saying that bracha rishona and bracha achrona, all of them are just drabanan?
Except Vachaltov as well. We haven't taken a strong stand. The Gemara is really asking here about Bracha Rishono, because that's what the Mishnah was talking about. Clearly, benching is Daraisa. Vachaltov is Zavato Rechta. And again, the Rashi and the Ritva think that Vachaltov is Zavato Rechta refers not only to Lechem, which appears right before the Chumash, but it goes back a couple of psukim. The Rashi would think that V'chalt V'zot Rachta refers to all the Shivas Haminim that were mentioned a couple of psukim earlier. And as we mentioned, Rashi would think that that's reflecting our Gemara also, as well as Midaf Mem Dal at the end of the parak. So wherever V'chalt V'zot Rachta applies to is Daraisa, whether it's either bread only, which we'll usually assume, or all the Shivas Haminim. But yeah, Bracha, Achron, and other things. Again, the Gemara never came to a conclusion about whether or not, we didn't have a clear maskana, can I learn Bracha Achrona from Kodesh Elulim or not? But Bracha Rishona definitely, I think we do assume, that Bracha Achrona is generally Drabbanan outside the Chalta Zatarechta, and Bracha Rishona is clearly, Tosa thinks, is clearly Drabbanan. Yeah.
I don't understand. Why do we take such issue to the drasha being proposed if we should attempt?
What do you mean?
We said this whole issue is because we had this drasha from the pasuk, and then we're saying, how could it be that we have this drasha? I mean, it seems like that this does have something to it, and then that it could potentially be a derisa. Then we say, no, it's just an asmacha. But if we don't end up using that drasha, then why is we supposed to have such a problem?
No, Tosa's problem was, the Amoraim, in the Bavli here, Amoraim comes to the conclusion that their drasha doesn't work, and that drasha is neither the direct nor indirect source for Bracha Rishona. So Tosa says, so how do these Amoraim read the Sifra? The Sifra said that it is a source, Mikan Amar Bekiva. So how do you read the Sifra? So Tosa says, no, the answer is that the Amoraim would understand the Sifra to be an Asmachta. Originally, the beginning, the Amoraim thought that Sifra is Mamash Drasha Gemura, a Limud Gamur. Real drasha is generating a real drasha device. And then over the course of the sugi, we realize, there's so many problems with this drasha. It's like, achlev hadrachle, the whole shak v'tariah. So the maskar, we say, look, it doesn't actually work. The sifra said, yeah, this is one of these sifra. One of the times that the sifra mentions an asmachta. Okay. Now, yeah, question.
Once we say, even while the rabbanon are saying an asmachta can't work, what's Rabbi
Akiva adding? Good. Let's come back. We'll come back to that in a moment. We'll come back to that. You're making a very sharp point. What is, I want to take one more question, then I want to address the next question. There are first few questions. The next question to address is, so is there anything that we're gaining from this? Is there any vestige of this shock of attire? Any vestige of the fact that they have this asmachtas? Do we gain anything? Yeah.
Going back to the source, I guess, we're trying to figure out the minimum two dinim we can get from Kiddush Elulim. I still don't understand why we can't learn out four. Like, I mentioned this point in the beginning of the Sigha. Why can't we learn out four? It would just make life so much easier.
We could learn out four?
Four drushas from Kiddush Elulim.
Yeah, well, the answer is, if I can't prove, it's possible that it's referring to more, but I can't prove that Hilulim indicates more than two Hilulim. So if you want to prove, demonstrate, you see this din is true, you see this din is binding because the pasuk says so, where you see the pasuk says so. Mashal ma'ad davar doma. If let's say there was a pasuk that said, you have to eat apples on Tuesday. There is no such pasuk. But imagine a pasuk that said, on Tuesday you have to eat apples. A Jew has to eat apples on Tuesday. So how many apples would you be mukhayif to eat?
Two.
At least two. Maybe it means four. How do you know two? The answer is, well, I can't tell. Apples is two or more. So it could be it means four, it could mean seven. But I can't prove to you that it means any more than two, and therefore I can't, if you want to eat four apples, knock yourself out, but I can't prove an obligation, can't be machriach any more than two. So the same thing is true here. Hilulim means at least two hilulim. Maybe there are more, maybe there aren't. So I can't prove, the starting point is you're not mechuyev. I need a source to prove that I am mechuyev. So I don't have any source that can prove that. I don't have any source that can machriach that. So we've been talking about what isn't here, Limaskana. What isn't here is a din daraisa. Tosra pointed out earlier, and the Raj Ritva say further. What isn't here, therefore Tosa says, what isn't here is a drasha gemura. In retrospect, get to enter the maskana, we look back at that sifra, Kodesh Elulim. Now we say it's merely an asmachta. Now we appreciate a little bit of what asmachta means. What might last from that asmachta, from this whole shock of Atariya, maybe is the following. The Pnei Yehoshua has lots to say in the sugya. The Pnei Yehoshua makes an interesting point. He wants to know earlier in the sugya, why is everyone even asking Milah and Milah? Like, well, why do we assume a priori that there's some that this is a din daraisa, this is a sum drasha. I mean, if anything, the Gemara Chaval assumes that's drabanan. So he's very bothered, as is a tzlach. What was the Gemara's question? Is there some indication that it's daraisa? What's the menorah in Mili? So the Pnei Yeshua goes through a couple of different suggestions. Like, what was the catalyst for this? So one of the things he says, the last suggestion he makes, he says, the reason why we're looking for a pasuk to begin with is because what strikes us about the Mishnah, going back to when we first looked at this Mishnah, is what strikes us about the Mishnah is right away the Mishnah jumps into Pirut Bebrachas categories, and very interesting set of categories. Someone had asked, when we first started learning this Mishnah, like, what happened to meat? Like, meat doesn't get a special bracha? Steak? Steak you just make a regular garden variety shahakal. But you're having spinach salad, ooh, that gets a hadama. You're having fruit soup, that'll maybe get perhaps the heights. But steak just gets a shahakal? That's sort of interesting. I would have guessed the opposite. Basar Yain has unique status to the Simchas Yantiv. So if anything, I would think a basar, I would think you have a bracha mevereres on basar rather than on peiros. Like, which is more exciting? Interesting. That is the din that's true l'maskana. It jumps right at you. As a matter of fact, what was the opening line of the Mishnah? Ketz mevarechin al peiros. Then later we get to the shahakos. As though brachas are primarily on peiros. And we noticed when we looked at the nusach, now the categories appear, but the nusach of the brachas also, there's a lot of pre. Borei pri ha'eis, borei pri ha'gavin, borei pri ha'dama. So much so that the Ritva Handel, remember, why don't we say some similar language on Hamotzi? And the answer is a Lishna Dekra. Ketzer Racha ha'peiros. So now the Pnei Yeshua says that from a Havmina standpoint, that's why we were looking for some mucker by fruit, by nectar revive. We were looking for some mucker to explain it. I would say even a twist on that, even Lemaskana, Chazal created Din Lemaskana, this is all Drabban. Chazal created Din Drabbanan of Brachas, of Brachas Rishonos. But look at the way Chazal chose to craft them. They have a Brachim Mivareres on Perasa Elon, on Perasa Adama, on Perasa Aret, and specifically on bread and on wine, and everything else doesn't get Brachim Mivareres. It's interesting. The way Chazal chose to craft the categories, not the way I would have guessed, what would have moved Chazal to say that? So the answer might be that's the significance of this Shakavataria is, as we began to discuss earlier, we learned the Mishnah, is at least Karam Ravai, Netu Ravai, is not the mucker to Mechayiv me in Bracha Rishona. But it is the model for Chazal that shaped the way Chazal. When Chazal decided Midra Abana, we're going to create something called Bracha Rishona, and why? Because of the Svar, Aslan, Shien, Ramazabla, Bracha. How are we going to design these Brachas Rishonos? So they did look to these dinim as a model, as a Ke'en Daraisa Tikkun. And that's maybe why they have all these Brachas Mevuraros, all these Brachas Mefuratos. Dafka on Eitz and Adama, that's exactly what the Gemara is handling. You have Kama, and you have Revai, and you have Shivas Aminim, which are categories min HaTorah that also generate the categories that Chazal are using in designing and crafting the Dinim Drabanan. And there's more. And there's more along these lines, because I'll point out to you also, notice how the Rambam, do you notice anything interesting about how the Rambam organizes Brachas Rishonos? Is there anything striking how the Rambam organizes Brachas Rishonos? Knocks your socks off.
Sorry, what the issue was?
You
just like, oh, why is it? Why do we look for a
mucker? Hold on. Let's lose the thread. You know, is anything surprising? Where's the Rambam put Bracha Rishona? In which parak? Which is the parak of Bracha Rishona? That's a trick question. The answer is there's more than one parak of Bracha Rishona. The parak Aleph, he begins by, as usually does with the Din Daraisa, is a mitzvah Daraisa of Birkas HaMazon. It's the same in HaTorah Levaruch Achrach HaMazon, Perak Alef Alech Alef. And then he shows you there that Chazal expanded from Birkas HaMazon. Min HaTorah, it's only if you're Saveya, Midrabanan, even if you had a Kazayas. And then he goes on to say, Halacha Beis, Midrab Midev Yisofrim, not only bread, not only afterwards, but even before. Levaruch HaKol Machol Tchil V'Achach Yehenem Imenu. Make a bracha first and then enjoy. That language is interesting. Chalanena below bracha mo'al. And so on and so forth. And midrabanan, you have to make a bracha. Chon on other foods other than mazon. Levarach acher. Acher kol shiyoch v'kol shiyishteh, if you had a drink of at least revias or eating at least a kazayis. So that's sort of the opening. Okay, but that's he's giving the big picture. Where does he break it down and talk about all the details of bracha rishona? The answer is in two different places. In Parakhas, he starts, Parakhas alacha, of kol peres ha'ilim v'varach aleim b'tchila bar p'ra'etz, bar nefashos, except chameshes aminim, da-da-dam, then you make al ha-peros. And yirakos, peres ha'aretz v'ha yirakos, here Parakhas alacha aleph, you say bar p'ra'adama, the Rambam there is pasking like the Tanakhama, that both peres ha'aretz and yirakos against Rebbe Yehuda, you make a bar p'ra'adama. And then dvarim she'ein gidulei min ha'aretz, like basar, gavina, dog, and beitzim, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, shahakal. Okay. What's missing? Sounds like he's quoting our Mishnah, right? Quoting our Mishnah and the Mishnah Daf Mem. What's missing? Take a look back at Paragimel. Chamisha minim heim, chitim, sa'orin, kusmin, shibol, shul, shifon. The five grains, which you usually translate as wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. And he says, he explains first, to give you some background, he gives you the Mada first, Malacha Aleph, he says you have these five grains, and they go through different stages of processing. First you have to harvest it, and then you have the raw grain, and then you clean the kernels, and then you begin to grind it, then you have flour, and then da-da-da, and finally you get to bread. So that's the Metzias background, the Mada background, and then Malacha Aleph, and then he dives into the Dinim. Malacha Beis, Paragim Malacha Beis. If you eat pas, you make a hamotzi. If you eat dagon shalok kamoshu, you have raw kernels that are cooked, but not ground or processed in that way. You make a hadama. It's a gemara later in our parak. If you eat flour, you make a shahakol, so on and so forth. And he says halach gimel. Sometimes you make a mizonos. If you make some sort of food out of the flour, but you didn't bake it into bread, so then you make a mizonos, and so on and so forth. Interesting. This is parak gimel. Rambam is dividing bracha rishona on grain versus bracha rishona on everything else. Why? He's not talking about benching. He's talking about bracha rishona. Why? And why? And the answer is perhaps because Rambam sees it's all drabbanon. He told me Rosh is all drabbanon, but it's still the we categorize and the Turin Shulchan Aruch also, if you take a look, divide up that way. You have Hamotzi Mizonos earlier, and you have the Ha'etz Hadama Shaka later. But in the Torah Shulchan Aruch, he explains that he's going through the Seder of the day. So after you finish davening, you sit and learn, and you go to work. So he talks to halachas of sitting and learning, he talks to halachas of going to work. And then it's time to have your Suda. So then the Torah Shulchan take you through Alatil Sadayim, and Hamotzi, and benching, and Zimun. And then he says, by the way, that was all the dinim of the Suda. But by the way, once we're on the topic, let me tell you about brachas on snacks. Ha'etz Hadama Shahakol. So there it's clear what the organizational scheme is because he's taking you through the day. The Rambam isn't taking you through the day. Altius time is later. The Rambam is dividing fundamentally brachas rishonos into grain-based brachas rishonos versus non-grain-based brachas rishonos. And the non-grain-based brachas rishonos start with peiros and then shahakol is sort of a footnote. Why? Why is he organizing the drabbanans, brachas drabbanan that way? I think it's the same as the Pnei Shu'as Hara, because the Kal V'chomer might not work. The Kal V'chomer might not work to generate a din daraisa of hamotzi, but at least it gives you a category. The asmachta is significant in that it gives you a certain category. The Rambam deals separately with brachas rishonos on those foods which min haTorah have a bracha achrona, namely bread. So that's Bracha Rishona, Hamotzi, is rooted in Vachot V'Zavot V'Rachta more so than the others. So that's why he's, as we were talking about originally, it's on Mamash level of Daraisa, the Kal V'chomer, that if you have to bench, you certainly Min HaTorah have to make a Bracha Rishona. So we don't accept that L'maskana, but there's still a certain categories of the way Chazal decided to organize the Dinam and Drabbanan Bracha Rishona is rooted in the categories of our Sukkah. So now, let's think about what we have so far. Let's recap what we have so far. So watch this happen. Let's recap what we have so far, and maybe it would take some questions, maybe even go a drop further. But first, let's just encapsulate what we have so far. The Gemara tried hard to find a way to Darshan Brach Rishona from these psukim, from the psukim of Ravai, from the psukim of Ahalta Vizvata Rachta, somehow directly, indirectly, a Kavachomer or something, somehow I can squeeze Brach Rishona min HaTorah out of those psukim. And the Gemara ends up falling apart. The direct rush doesn't work. The Kavachomer is really going to help me because we do the Shahako. So Lemaskana, we say, that's all Rabbanan. That's the way Tosus and the Rajbit for read. It's all Rabbanan. Kra asmachta v'yamo. Kra asmachta v'yamo. What's the makar? The dindra banan based on a svara. Okay. Dindra banan based on a svara. So we show him stress. It's all drabanan. We have that drush in the sifra. Now as Tosu said, that's a mir asmachta. We thought it was a drush of gemur d'raisa, but the end is a mir asmachta. What emerged? What are we left with after this whole back and forth? And Avichai pointed out, if you look in the riff does, in his halachic summary of the Gemara, does quote the drasha kodesh hilulim, but then he goes on to give the maskana of the Gemara. Also, adam shena almazav lo bracha. So how do those two fit together? And the rush maybe makes it a little bit clearer. So the answer might be this is a significant asmachta. It's an asmachta. Ultimately, it's based on svara, but the asmachta has significance. This is the model that Chazal used for designing the din drabanan of brachas. They built it around categories like bread and categories like fruit, which come from here, and that's where the Rambam actually strikingly separates the brachas we've shown us on bread from other things. And even in terms of which brachas have brachos muvaroros, and which foods get all lumped together in shahakol, all of that, the presentation and the dinim themselves, reflect that there is a sourcing. There is a sourcing, not that this is the Mechayiv, the Din Rabbanan, but Ke'en D'Raisa Tikkun. This is the Ke'en D'Raisa. These Din D'Raisa of Benshin and of Ravai were the models that Chazal used in designing the Dinim Rabbanan. Questions? Ethan.
So I understand that Lamar is looking for a source that's, has all of Rav Rishona included. But why, in the end, do we make it all or nothing?
That's a good point. Right. So, and that's what we said yesterday. Tosus was probably sensitive to the fact that it seems like the Kal V'chomer of option two, it's only a problem that's inadequate, but it does cover some food. So why not say the hamotzi on bread is daraisa based on Kal V'chomer? So that's what we had seen. The Rishonim point out that the Kal V'chomer itself is internally problematic. Also, the Gemara didn't stress that. The Gemara stressed the inadequacy. Kal V'chomer is not going to help for basar, gvina, basar, beitzim, and dagim. As Tosa said a little bit, and Rashi Ritva said more, there really are other problems. The whole Kal V'chomer internally falls apart. And that's what we started with today. Why didn't the Gemara ask those kashas? And the Rashi Ritva say, we have other kashas. We anyways are going to reject this. We reject this based on inadequacy, but the truth is we could have also rejected based on the Kal V'chomer is internally inoperable. The Kal V'chomer is internally invalid because it doesn't really work so well. In the Chanami, right? That's what Tosa said. La Kal V'chomer, as Ritva says, not Kal V'chomer Malia. It looks nice, but doesn't really work for some reason or another. Because after all, I know the end of the story is it's drabanan. Brach Rishon is drabanan, specifically bread. So why is it not good? So after the Rashi Ritva explains, the Kal V'chomer not such a. It's not really a. A healthy Kal V'chomer. Doesn't really work. Pinchas. PR.
I probably just missed it. How do we resolve the fact that the Rabbah split pas and was overset?
It's probably because it reflects the fact that the brachos rishonos are modeled after brachos achronos. Specifically, the bracha on pas is modeled after the bracha achron on pas, which is a daraisa. So that might be why he sets it aside to reflect the fact that that captures Chaim Soloveitchik, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, Dr. Grach. See, he makes his ha'ara in a different, this is an unpublished article, it could be it was later published. he had the suggestion that the way the Rambam organizes Hilchas Shabbos, and all the dinim that he says are, those are the dinim. Because that's what Chazal say. But the way he chose to organize Hilchas Shabbos, if you look at it carefully, is not the way you've expected you've organized it. So Dr. Grach suggests that maybe there's an additional message. Rambam is he's attacking the Karan. So he sort of highlights, organizes it to sort of highlight those dinim that are an attack on the Apikorsim, the Karan. So it may be here also, it's not polemic, but it could be the Rambam just chose to organize and arrange the dinim in a way that highlights certain larger themes. Maybe. The two questions that remain that we'll deal with next time, maybe we even have time to take another question from the floor. Two questions that remain, this is where we want to wrap up Mirsam tomorrow. We spend today on looking at the last stage of the Gemara, the Svara, and as I said before, looking at what isn't. What isn't in the Maskana? What isn't is a Din Daraisa? What isn't, there's no Drasha Gemura, it's an Asmachta, and then we thought a little bit about how the Asmachta, even though it's only Asmachta, maybe at least as a model for the Dinim Darais, for the Dinim Drabanan and the Pnei Yeshua's Ha'ara and the Rambam. Well, what we need to address next time is what is. Now that we thought about what isn't here, Sumira, so to speak, now here comes the Aseh Tov. What is here in the Maskana? So there is a Svara. And there are two things that we want to explore in the Svara. One is, what is the Svara? Where does it come from? And the Ritva is what to say about that. And then the other point is if it's a Pnei Yeshua's kasha. Pnei Yeshua wonders, why are we so comfortable assuming that, oh, it's only Drabanan. I understand it's only Drabanan, not Daraisa. So the Drusha is not a Drusha Gemur, it's just an Asmachta. But you had a Svara. So why doesn't Svara generate a Din Daraisa? Does Svara generate a Din Daraisa? Does Svara not generate a Din Daraisa? That's an interesting question. And the Pnei Yeshua thinks he has a proof from a Gemara elsewhere, from Gemara's elsewhere, that if you have a Svara also is a source for a Din Daraisa. A friend of mine suggested many, many years ago that this Pnei Yeshua is important in the discussion about a natural law. Can Svara generate Din Daraisa? So we'll get to that. The Pnei Yeshua is a very strong kasha. We'll try to work on that mission tomorrow.